always do those last second checks, and I caught something tonight.
All right.
Recorders are up. This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are a story about Amazon's treatment of pregnant women in their distribution centers. A hypothetical, what if an asteroid was on a collision course with Manhattan? Apple is going to face EU antitrust thanks to Spotify. And two senators want a hammer thrown at Facebook. I want to welcome you to episode 1365 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, May 6th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And you too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Warning in advance, if I turn away during the live event or if there is a pause, I am fighting a massive head cold. We'll talk about it a bit later in the show, but I hope I'm suppressed through the end of the podcast. We'll see. But anyway, I want to welcome all the new listeners and both those of you that have been longtime family members, part of the Ohana here. Thanks for being part of the family. And for those new folks, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. It's real simple. All you got to do is just visit the website. And when you're on there, we want you to subscribe to the podcast via Apple Podcasts on Android, email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or the old school trusted and true RSS feed that basically powers this whole crazy thing called podcasting. If you don't know how to subscribe, don't worry. Click on the more subscription options. We give you some instructions on how to do that. Again, visit the website. Jeez, knew I wasn't going to make it. and get subscribed. Of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter as well. Newsletter contains everything I'm going to be talking about during the show. And basically, it's everything is contained within the actual show notes. We, of course, want you to watch the show if the opportunity arises. You can do that on your Apple TV, or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by telling that device and using the keyword to launch it to say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, we are live. Today, we're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Mixer, and we basically where you are. And of course, more importantly, we're at live.geeknewscentral.com. You can watch, always go there and catch the latest episode as well, the replay of that, if you so desire. And that's an opportunity for you to do so. At the same time, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. It's a Mastodon chat server where you can come on and be part of the Ohana and add your commentary. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well if you want. Send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. And that's a great way to reach out to me as well. And that's the primary contact way for the show. Of course, you can do it on Twitter as well, at Geek News. You can follow me on Facebook, make comments there if you so desire. Partner shows include the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and the Podcast Legend Show. All of those are linked to geeknewscentral.com. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show would not be possible without our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want to make sure that you get the best savings available on the planet. All you got to do is go over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. That'll get you linked up with all of our deals. And on that page, you're going to find 30% off new product purchases. You can find a 99-cent.com. You can find $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year. That's $12 get you going. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain. $12 get you started. And 1 month free trial GoDaddy website builder for those of you doing businesses and so forth. Your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Again, all these deals where you can save money and you can support this show directly and the things that we do here is at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your utilization of our sponsorship codes really keep the lights on and allow me to do what I do as a personal podcast and being able to go around to different events, keep the writers paid, everything that happens on the website. We've actually just invested in a little more tweaking to the website to make it, more mobile friendly. And you'll find mobile page speed loads are now at the 95 percentile for page speed test. So definitely your dollars that are earned, or my dollars that are earned from these sponsorships, go right back into the production and everything that I do. And of course, we're getting ready to pull the plug here in Hawaii. And GoDaddy is going to travel along with us as we move the studio to Michigan, but only if you continue to support the sponsor. And we appreciate it when you do so. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. So let's just talk about this head cold. So I was in Columbus and the heat went out in the hotel we were in. Now I would have moved, but we're having meetings there at the end of the week. And it just, oh my goodness. I wasn't so bad a week ago, Friday, Saturday, but Sunday I felt it coming on. And by Monday, it was probably the worst head cold I've ever had. And I'm still fighting it, right? Even today, it's ridiculous. I thought I was on the downswing last Thursday and getting back on track. Feeling a lot better than I was, but I'll be honest, I have not had a cold like this. And it really, I don't think it was a flu, because it was all this, ear, nose, throat. Oh, horrible, 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 horrible. And every over-the-counter, and I may even still, I thought today was feeling a little better. Thought maybe no sinus infection, but I'm not positive. I may end up being at the doc before it's over, but this is 8 days ongoing. So be honest with you, having gotten back yesterday, I felt like doggy doo-doo, and was just this afternoon was like, oh man, am I going to be able to do the show? But we've got 3 shows left. This show is one of 4 shows that we have left here in the studio in Hawaii, because in a week from Thursday will be the last Geek News Central episode here in Hawaii. Well, not in the live studio in Hawaii. I will continue to do shows audio only from Hawaii for until about the 30th, I think. And then I roll for Michigan. So, that basically, gives us just a little more time in the studio here before the teardown begins. But, we've been a long ride here in the studio. Really, it's, 10 and a half years in this particular spot, which is, more than two thirds the length of this show. So, some memories, and it'll be interesting to see what we find as I tear stuff down and pack stuff up. There's so much crammed into a small area. I am sure there's stuff that has fell behind nooks and crannies that I've been looking for. So that'll be fun to share as we go forward too. But had a great week last week, back-to-back meetings. Glad to be back here throughout the month of May. But the Matson container is paid for. Almost $7,000 for the container. So, yeah, that took a dent on the credit card. And then $400 for the inter-island trucking shipping. And they're saying 21 days from the time they pick it up here. It'll go out on the 31st. They'll be on the boat heading towards Los Angeles on the 31st. And then they're saying a 3-week transit time. So ship, rail, and then truck to get it to get the stuff to our new location. So I've got a lot to do here over the next. You're going to start to see the wall behind change. Matter of fact, you can't see all of it, but some of it's changed already, because I took a basically two about about 200 pounds worth of gear that I flew to Columbus when I flew out, and it remains there in our office. So we'll see how things roll here over the next few weeks as I start to pick up the tempo and getting the studio packed out and ready to ship. So we just keep you advised, and stuff may start to get dismantled around me. The picture here may not change, but we'll let you know. Hope everybody's been doing well. And thanks for, I got some email from some of you that had some private comments. I do want to appreciate some of your feedback there. And I still have people that are part of the Ohana that are like, you're moving? Where are you going? And you can tell they haven't listened to a show for a little while. So, but anyway, got a great show for you tonight. Kirk did a great show prep. Hope you liked the two episodes that came out of our studio in Columbus. Look forward to getting video set up in there. So that should be fun. But, you know, that's all to be happening within the next couple of months. So anyway, onwards we go to the live show. If you're on tonight, make sure you say hello in the chat, whether it be on YouTube, whether it be on Facebook, on Twitter. Make sure you do a reply or retweet of the show. We definitely appreciate it when you do that. And anyway, let's move on here. So big article today on CNET talking about Amazon having fired 7 pregnant workers who then sued. And from what I've read here, it looks like the Amazon has settled with a number of these workers. But to me, I was just kind of appalled at, well, not kind of, I am appalled at the what transpired, at least their side of the story. And it really all started with these ladies who worked on the distribution floors, who basically came to work with their doctor slip and said, hey, I'm not supposed to go up and down stairs. I'm not allowed to lift more than 20 pounds, and I need more bathroom breaks. And for any of you that are moms and dads out there, you know that the moms to be, or the moms, you know, and you know, they have to use the bathroom a lot. It's just the way it is. The baby causes pressure, and there's not a, you know, the bladder can't hold as much. So, you know, this is what happens. And a lot of these women got fired, at least 7 of them that the folks at CNET have reviewed here. And this is, if true, which in my opinion, the CNET folks did a good job in this article reviewing these 7 lawsuits. It looks to me like Amazon has some splaining to do. And these cases feel the perception that Amazon has created grueling conditions at their United States fulfillment centers in the rush to build the online marketplace for everything. And of course, people are now, you know, trying to push for unionization and a variety of other things within these fulfillment centers. And as the company introduces same-day delivery or prime 2-day shipping, we're going to see potentially more of these incidents because the employees are going to be pushed even more harder. And they want to push out as much product as possible, but maybe they should hire a few more people, you know, if that's the case. But it appears that Amazon has settled with 4 of the ladies involved. And in cases are ongoing, and some comments couldn't be made, I'm sure, because of settlements. But another disparaging, really review here of definitely some things going on at Amazon that makes you think just a little bit about what this company's doing and how they're treating their employees. Over at space.com, they did a, there was a conference, the International Academy of Astronautics Planetary Defense Conference, which was held in College Park, Maryland last week. they did an exercise, and it was basically a scenario as if they knew an asteroid was going to hit Earth, and it was basically started with an 8-year timeline. They went then and went through the various disciplines to talk about what they would do, the budget that was assigned, talked about updated impact zones and what would happen if a chunk of this asteroid may hit, let's say, for example, Manhattan. And what I took away from the conversation of this article is that we simply don't have a clue. And if something happens, if there is a near-Earth object that is going to impact the Earth and it's going to hit a landmass or even the ocean, we haven't really thought it through too much. And there's lots of holes. And potentially, a lot of us are going to die if something like that ever happens. But it talks about the scenarios they went through, and it was a good exercise, I foresee. But does that mean it's going to allow more budgets and more money to be spent on detection? And then potentially what will be done to protect us? So it's just not a matter of if, it's when. And, you know, it's a big space out there, obviously. A lot of things have to happen for things to come together, but it happens all the time. So, it just depends on how big the object is. So, anyway, good article. Link will be up in the show notes, of course. Apple is facing a EU antitrust investigation thanks to Spotify. So, this is kind of interesting. Spotify has been a little bit on the warpath, making a lot of noise, talking about Apple quite negatively. And in the complaint that Spotify made, that said, they said that Apple charges subscription companies a 30% fee. And while non-subscription apps don't have to pay any fee, Spotify stated in its complaint that Apple is attempting to stifle companies that compete with the Apple Music streaming service. Well, let's be frank. Let's look at it two different ways. Without Apple and the iPhone, Spotify wouldn't exist in its current form. It really wouldn't. Neither would podcasting in its current form. Neither would a whole huge bunch of other industry. You just think of the ecosystem that the iPhone has created. You know, they got it right first. The App Store, apps, all kinds of add-ons, subscriptions, pay for apps, pay for extras. They got it right first. So Apple's allowed, because it's their platform, to basically have the fee that they set as their commission for to be on the platform. Spotify can go and build their own platform. Spotify can go and just be on Android. Spotify does not have to play on the iPhone. So I agree in part that Spotify wouldn't be the business they are today without the App Store. And of course, Apple said that the 30% fee drops to 15% after the first year and continues to drop the following years. And Apple accused Spotify of wanting a free ride. So the EU, being what the EU is right now, appears that they want to probe Apple and look into this and their practices with the music subscription service. So here we go. And I kind of agree to a certain extent with Apple on this one. Hey, it's our platform. You don't want to play. You go find another platform to play on. So we'll see how this turns out. What are your thoughts? Love to hear what you think. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your comments. Definitely appreciate it when you do. I'm trying to stay ahead of this cough with a little water. I did a saline rinse tonight, and that probably was a mistake prior to the show, but I did. You're doing that saline rinse, you want to do it in the shower. Don't want to necessarily do it over the sink. So some of that saline solution is working its way down as I'm doing the show tonight. So I know, TMI, too much information, but you're all part of the family here. So you get to suffer with me a little bit. Two senators call on the FTC to hit Facebook with more than a big fine. So on Monday, two senators called on the FTC to really throw the gauntlet at them. It appears the FTC and Facebook are negotiating a fine as much as $5 billion. But in a letter, Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, and Josh Haley, a Republican from Missouri, wants something more. They want more blood. They say even a fine, and this is about the privacy issues that Facebook has had. He says even a fine in the billions is simply a write-down for the company, and large penalties have done little to deter large tech firms, the senators wrote. The FTC should impose tough accountability measures and penalties for individual executives and management responsible for violations of the consent order and for privacy failures. And of course, the consent order refers to a 2011 agreement Facebook struck with the government. The FTC acknowledged receiving the letter, and Facebook didn't have a comment. And again, the FTC investigation stems from the Cambridge Analytica event, which we've talked about many times, surrounding the 2016 political election. So here we go. Here's a little unknown fact. Apple says that they buy a new company every few weeks. So their CEO has said they've acquired 20 to 25 companies in the past 6 months. And Apple refrains from announcing deals with these small companies. He said Apple buys a company and, you know, it's often a tech acquisition or acqui-hire, you know, they're looking for bodies. But it shows the aggressive purchasing power that Apple has with $225.4 billion in cash, which they have on hand. So going around buying stuff is not that big of a deal. They just write the check, right? So they say when we have a little extra cash laying around, we do this. If we have money left over, we see what we can do. With $225 billion in cash on hand, he's saying if we have money left over, please, just give me a break. Uber, boy, oh boy. Uber and Lyft drivers are planning to strike on Wednesday ahead of Uber's IPO. So if you're planning on taking Uber on Wednesday, they're going to strike for 2 hours. So if you're in New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, Los Angeles, and you want to go on an Uber ride from 7 to 9 a.m., call a cab. And Wednesday, May 8th, according to New York Taxi Workers Alliance, drivers in several cities in the UK, including London, Birmingham, Nottingham, and Glasgow, are also participating in the work stoppage. Uber is expected to go public for an eye-popping $90 billion valuation on May 9th. So, I don't know if you're up to date on... Well, anyway, good luck with the IPO, and I bet you there'll be a lot of Uber drivers driving because less drivers are driving, it'll be in surge. Just watch. How many of you watch Game of Thrones? Whoa. I won't put any spoilers here, but someone is from last night's show is really pissed. And the storyline is starting to have some possible outcomes. You can see possible endings to the story. You can see possible additional people getting killed. You can kind of feel where this thing may or may not be heading. This show's full of so many twists, you just don't know. But did you see the movie mistake? Did you guys see the Starbucks cup on the set? Yeah. They missed it. But Eagle Eye movie viewers, Eagle Eye folks caught the Starbucks on a certain table. And if you haven't watched the latest episode, keep your eyes peeled, okay? Keep your eyes peeled for the Starbucks cup. And I'm trying not to do any spoilers here, but what a battle, right? And cheers for a certain individual during the battle, right? Dying here. Over at space.com, Richard Nixon's Apollo 11 artifacts are on display at the Presidential Library. His signature landed there. He spoke to the astronauts on the surface. And now 50 years later, his museum is exhibiting the history that connects Richard Nixon to the moon. And the Richard Nixon Presidential Library and Museum in Yorba Linda, California, uses artifacts and imagery from the National Archive and Smithsonian to guide visitors through the rise of the 1960 space race that led to the first humans walking on the moon. And of course, the resigned, disgraced President Richard Nixon remains the only president with his name on a plaque on the lunar surface. So they got a pretty nice display here. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. At the same time, Hubble is being used to try to demystify black holes. I'm sorry, I really, really am. Need a cough switch. I so rarely get sick, but can't talk this long straight without coughing on you. It's horrible. So basically, Hubble's still out there just doing great science. It's amazing. And there's a new picture out that shows a dusty orange-red environment studded with purple stars showing amid dust trails in black. And this spiral galaxy is called NGC 2903. And of course, is located 30 million light years from Earth in the constellation of Leo. And but anyway, talks about stuff that Hubble is doing with looking at black holes as well. So article will be up in the show notes for you to review. Microsoft wants to secure elections and political campaigns with something called Election Guard. And, we've all seen the voting booths with blue screens of death, right? But Microsoft has announced today it's taking a few steps toward election security. Election Guard, an open source software development kit that will offer public verifiability and other measures for elections. Since it's open, Microsoft is hoping developers will integrate it into existing voting system. It's not trying to replace things that already work. Microsoft says it'll offer guidance and tools to build more accessible voting systems, though it didn't elaborate on specifics. Developers will be able to get their hands on Election Guard SDK when it hits GitHub in the summer. Additionally, the company is launching Microsoft 365 for campaigns, aiming to do for political operations what it's already been doing for business by bundling Windows Office 365 and security offerings. And that'll launch in June as well. So anyway, we'll see what develops there. There's a good article on, what happened to this article? Article on dumblittleman.com. Talks about 13 security tips for your Android phone. So it goes through and gives you some tips, things to do to protect your phone. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you as well. And of course, nothing better than public transit tracker apps. I really do love these apps, especially when I'm in different cities. And I even got turned on here because of this article to a couple of them. One is called City Mapper. It's pretty slick. And you can count on City Mapper to provide with real-time data for all public transit options in your area. And then there's one called Transit. I already knew about this one. Move It was another one I really didn't know about, but a very wide variety of different transit apps that are available to help make your public transportation time more enjoyable, and you know when the bus is going to arrive or when the train or the trolley or whatever it may be. Now, I go out for 2 weeks, and I miss all hell breaking loose over at SpaceX. So SpaceX had a launch on Saturday that was successful, taking 5,500 pounds of food and science and whatever else they deliver to the International Space Station. And it docked and it was a success. But apparently, while I was doing podcasting business, they blew up one of their capsules in a ground test. Something happened, and I guess there was some video that was actually caught of it happening, and no one's verified it, but NASA made a post that employees of the NASA can get fired for releasing videos like that. But anyway, so one of their Dragon capsules got destroyed. So something went sideways, one of the rockets or something. So SpaceX talked a little bit about it, but they're still being pretty mum's the word. At a briefing about Friday's planned Falcon 9 launch to send cargo to the ISS, the company's vice president of mission assurance declined to comment on the video that wasn't produced by SpaceX. He did confirm that a mishap occurred. When the Dragon was on the test stand, the capsule had successfully test fired its smaller Draco thruster, but just before it fired its super Draco engines, there was a boom and the vehicle was destroyed. So, like I said, something went sideways in a very bad way. Over at lifehacker.com, they've got an article about how to spot fake reviews on Amazon. And I think it's important when I look at products, I look at the reviews and I read the reviews. That's the key here. And I also read the question and answers. I go through and read those a little bit. So look for verified purchases, read the product Q&A, and read non-Amazon reviews as well from other sites, okay? And there's also a website called FakeSpot, and it basically help you detect fake reviews on products that you may be thinking about buying. If you have a question, this is a good resource. Over at Macworld, they're saying the iOS 13 biggest secret is revamped apps and handy new features, making it easier to use with one hand, and a sleep mode. And they say iOS 13 could be the biggest release since the controversial iOS 7 overhaul. And one of the most intriguing rumor new features is something called sleep mode, and it will be an upgraded version of the underutilized bedtime tab. I use that exclusively now, which basically put your phone on do not disturb. So, but it's going to be a focus on apps. There's going to be a dark mode as well. So we'll see what happens here. We're not too far away from WWDC. So we'll get the real deal here shortly. The four U.S. major wireless carriers are facing a proposed class action lawsuit, which accuses them of violating federal law by selling their customers' real-time location data to third parties. The complaints seeking class action status and financial damage were filed last week against AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. In the U.S. District Court of District of Maryland, the four suits filed on behalf of customers by lawyers from the Z Law Firm in Maryland all begin with text nearly identical to this. This action arises out of the defendant's collection of geolocation data and the unauthorized dissemination of third parties and the geolocation data collected from its users' cell phones. AT&T merely sells customers' geolocation data to third party, including but not limited to data aggregators, who in turn are able to use or resell the geolocation data with little or no oversight by AT&T. This is an action seeking damages for AT&T's gross failure to safeguard highly personal and private consumer geolocation data in violation of federal law. And they're looking for 300 phone users to get some money. Probably get about 15 cents each That's how these things work. Or, you know, the $300 million, the lawyers will get 70% of that. And the rest will be distributed equally to those of us that have phones. And like I said, we'll get 15 to 73 cents or $1.20 or something like that for this class action lawsuit. You know, the only thing that, the only people that get rich in these is the lawyers when they succeed. Really, that is the only people that get rich in these types of lawsuits. But on the other hand, this is a good one. The FTC is suing a backpack creator for allegedly using crowdfunded money to buy Bitcoin. It was called the iBackpack. It never shipped. He raised $800,000, paid his bills, withdrew money from the ATM, partied a little bit, promised and repromised for shipments and repromised that they were going to deliver, and it never happened. He paid off some personal business cards. He bought some Bitcoin. Well, the FTC's not too happy with him, so they've went after him and sued the backpack creator for basically being a fraudster. So I hope they get their pound of flesh out of this guy. I really, really do. For scammers are out there taking advantage of people on crowdfunding sites. If you're a Windows user and you think you've may have gotten some malware, I'm being honest with you. I run Malwarebytes on every machine I have, Windows or Mac. And I love that little program. It's very healthy. But if you're not running a malware's application and you get basically hacked, well, PC World's got a step-by-step process to help you become basically unhacked. And this may not even be enough. So anyway, I have this up in the show notes for you to review. Commercial drone sales are way more popular than the FAA expected. Growth of personal drones, non-commercial drones, increased by 170% last year. They thought it would be at a 44% growth. But get this. The FAA now sits at 277,000 registered drones, mine included. But there's 1.25 million drones in the U.S. expected to rise to 1.4. In the same year, the FAA now predicts there will be 835,000 commercial drones, which to me is actually an incredible number. That's amazing. The original prediction, there would be about 452,000 commercial drones flying by 2022. But they say that number will be achieved. It will be achieved by 2020. Excuse me. So they haven't hit that number yet. So very, very exciting stuff about the drone space. I think most of my drones are now in Columbus. The Apple Watch may soon get an on-device app store. And you can also expect more health features, revamped core apps, and more. And it's no secret that we're going to see plenty of software updates for WWDC. But a Bloomberg source claims, though, that many of the software introductions planned for the June developer event, that watchOS would receive a major update and make it considerably less dependent on an iPhone. And I always confuse people when I pull out an Android and have an iPhone on. I always get a weird look. But they're going to improve the health system completely. It's going to help the ladies with their body cycles. And it's going to help also for those of you that are the ladies that might be on the pill, helping them with some reminders there as well. Lots of improvements coming to watch OS. Google is considering letting users limit tracking in Chrome. And Wall Street Journal says that the search firm is poised to launch a dashboard-like element in Chrome that would not only show more detail about tracking cookies, but giving you options to limit them. While the concept isn't novel, it would be a significant break for a company whose very business revolves around advertising and user data. Now, here's what happens. I've been, affected by GDPR stuff and be able to track stuff and figure out what works and what doesn't. Them trying to basically allow people to limit what data the cookies see, well, it would be even worse. It would impact me for sure. And some of the things I do here at Geek News Central from a monetization standpoint. And so anyway, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Definitely going to help hurt online businesses. But, you know, there's always two sides to the story. Where do we want to be in privacy, right? Google aims for greater transparency in how it ranks the news. I don't know. I'm having a hard time trusting any news these days. But it opened a website to detail its objectives and principles and approaches to managing news across its various platforms. The website is a subsection of the Google News Initiative, the company program for supporting journalists. It offers details on some aspects of how Google handles news, including some of the hundreds of signals its ranking algorithms take into account to identify and organize stories in a way that elevates diverse, trustworthy information. So what do you guys think about Google News? Do you have a takeaway from that? Are you happy with it? Do you trust it? I don't know. It's hard. It really, really is hard today on a lot of this new stuff. It's so biased. Google updates Android Auto design with a new default dark mode. And there's been a bunch of little changes that should make Android Auto easier as well. But one of the design refreshes includes a dynamic persistent navigation bar at the bottom of the user interface. And instead of the just a static white buttons on a black background, the new version allows some apps to essentially take over a section of the navigation bar, allowing for more granular control without requiring the driver to switch the full app, to switch to the full app in question. So we'll see. How many of you are using Android Auto? I don't think I have to this point. Facebook has updated its video guidelines to promote original content, loyal and engaged viewership, which should help this show. We have people that come on and watch the live show and stay on for the whole event, and it seems to work out pretty well for me from an engagement standpoint. But anyway, that is a new feature that is or a new ranking algorithm that's coming to Facebook. This is the National Teacher of the 2000. This is the Rodney Robinson is the 2019 National Teacher of the Year, and this is Happy Teacher Appreciation Week. So if you have a teacher that you remember that you appreciate and made an impact on you, maybe it's time to go and say hi to that person and remind them that they were effective to developing and to shaping your life. And if your kids have a teacher that's been effective, this might be a great week to have them tell their teachers thanks as well. There's a card skimming hack that's targeting 201 campus stores in North America. And the infamous Mage Carts card skimming hack has been used to make life miserable for college students. Trend Micro's discovered that a hacking group currently nicknamed Mirror Thief relied on the scripting technique to steal data from 201 online campus stores across US and Canada on April 14th. So they slipped these scripts into the checkout pages of the sites. And they harvest full card details, names, addresses, phone numbers, number of people affected is not yet clear. And so anyway, I guess a one day hack there. If you're still a Firefox user, Firefox is pushing another update to fix its broken add-ons. Apparently, they busted it pretty bad in version 66. And people are not happy. Matter of fact, it was all about security certificates. And people that haven't upgraded 66, that are on version 54, have not seen any relief yet. They don't want to upgrade because it sometimes an add-on breaks when the browser gets updated. So those users have basically been lifting Mozilla a very strong message on social media. So if you're a Firefox user, have you been affected by this latest event that's been going on with this browser? I don't use Firefox enough to notice these types of things, but wow, not good. According to The Verge, Facebook contract workers are looking at your private post to train artificial intelligence. So this report from Reuters basically saying that Facebook has got an Indian outsourcing firm called YPro, which has up to 260 workers who annotate posts according to five categories. These include the content of the post, if it's a selfie or a picture of food, the occasion, and the author's intent. Are they making a joke, trying to inspire others, or organizing a party? And again, these are private posts. Why is Facebook allowing other people to review private posts when you share that with your wife, sister, friend, whatever? You know, when you do a post, it can go to an individual, right? Facebook says there's 200 such content labeling projects worldwide. But just seems funny that they are reviewing private posts. And this could be infringing on European Union's GDPR regulations, so which set strict limits on how companies can collect and use personal data. All right, Mother's Day is coming, right? So have you thought about Mother's Day gift? Well, of course, an Apple Watch, a Fitbit, a Mophie charge pad, an aux key USB-C power bank. Lots of ideas here. Lots of things for mom on the tech side. So maybe some headphones. These are all suggestions from Ars Technica. I have the link up in the show notes for you. All right. That's it for content. I do have a comment that came in. And this is from someone that's talking about JetBlue. Todd, JetBlue just instituted a biometric boarding program that scans passengers' faces before letting them on international flights. Backlash started after one passenger posted their story on Twitter. JetBlue responded to the passenger with vague answers and press talking points that did not address how or why this program is running. So today, please plant a flag to push back on JetBlue's creepy facial recognition program. JetBlue's biometric program is a surveillance nightmare. Just think, if we get used to getting our faces scanned to get on a plane, how long before we get our faces scanned to go to the doctor, buy groceries, or for kids to go to school? Well, we've been talking about this on this show. We knew this was coming. We know this is being deployed. I don't know if there's going to be anything we can do except express our displeasure. On the other hand, how many of you like this idea of biometric proving who the person is that's getting on the airplane with you? So I want to thank the Jelani for sending this to me. And but what do you guys think about this biometric collection at the airport? Do you like it? Do you think it's good? Do you hate it? Love to hear your thoughts. Okay, before I pass my head cold to you through the earbuds, which I don't think is possible here, or through the screen, I'm going to get off in here. And my head feels right now like it's ready to explode. So I do want to appreciate each and every one of you that have been part of the family here. Thanks for bearing with me while I was off last week. And again, the show continues to roll on. Three more live episodes here in Hawaii. Then we go audio only for probably about a month, maybe less. We'll see how fast I get things set up. There might be on the week of June 10th, maybe doing some live video, potentially one of the shows in Columbus. I doubt I'll be ready on the first show because I've just got to get everything set up, decide what I'm going to do camera-wise. But other than that, I want to thank you all for being here and being part of the Ohana. Don't forget about my sponsor, GoDaddy. Share that code with your friends, family members, people that you know. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is the address. Email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, if you have any comments. And becoming an insider is incredibly important. And if you can support the show with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation, geeknewscentral.com/insider is the place to go. It's my pleasure to bring you the show. Thanks for Kirk for doing the show prep tonight. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.